Before I go into a message, I'd like to go before the Lord with a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I come before you as a yielded vessel, created in Christ Jesus for your works, Lord God, to go out to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that's dying in sin, that they may hear and believe and receive your Son into their hearts as their Lord and Savior. Use me this night, my Heavenly Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about a man called Abraham, the covenant of Abraham, God's blueprint for the salvation of Jesus Christ. Now, this man Abraham was born in a family that worshiped idols. But one day God spoke to this man, Abraham, and Abraham listened. Our scripture reading is going to be from two or three scriptures tonight, but we're going to start reading in Genesis 12, the first three verses. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from the kindred and from the family, from their father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make my name great, and thou shalt be blessing. And I will bless thee that bless thee. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now God himself called Abraham out from his family. You see, when you serve God, you may have to leave the comfort of your home. You got to leave something in order to receive faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So often we talk to people in the street about Jesus, and the first thing they say, what would my friends say if I accept Christ? They're not willing to leave their friends in order to make a commitment to serve God. But this man, Abraham, he was just the opposite. He decided to obey God, going into a country that he knew nothing about, obeying the commandments of God. As we read in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, when God himself instituted this covenant with Abraham. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, which means blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abrams, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thou seed after thee, and the generation for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and thou seed after thee. Now God himself made this covenant with Abraham based on faith, not color of skin. Because Abraham was willing to believe in God and leave his family, and God himself saw that Abraham had that type of faith to go out into a country that he knew nothing about, and God himself made that covenant with Abraham. Now it was not only for Abraham, it was for all of us. But it started with Abraham. Because God is a faith God. And the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible said, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So Abraham was willing to obey God, not knowing where God would lead him, but he was willing to do that. And today, when God tells someone to go somewhere to minister to people, they may be afraid. I know back in 1987 when I was called out to go to preach in the subways, I was very afraid the first time that God spoke to my heart to do that, after reading the Bible for about 7 years. So the first day I did not preach because I was too afraid to preach, didn't know what to say, you know. But the second day I really went out and I started to preach on the subways. I've been doing it ever since. In 1989 I left my job and I started to preach full time in the streets with Sister Brenda, who is now my wife, Brenda. But getting back to Abraham. Now, the Bible and the book of Genesis, in the book of Galatians, the third chapter speaks about the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. Now, I'm pretty sure there were many people during Abraham's time that God could have chosen to make a covenant with, but God chose Abraham because Abraham had that type of faith. And the book of Genesis, the third chapter, Galatians, the third chapter, and the sixth verse, we're going to read about Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now God, because of Abraham's faith, put that on Abraham's account for his righteousness. Now the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we put faith in Christ, God would place it on our account for our righteousness. Because faith will shape how you live in this life before God. And God want to have control over your will. He want to have control over your life because he wants you to live in his righteousness. And he can do that through your faith. Because God himself created us to have that choice to choose. He could have made man like a robot, but God chosen to give man a free will. In the book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse, the Bible said that God has dealt to each and every one of us the measurable amount of faith. Now you can use this faith to obey God, or you can use this faith to disobey God. God would judge you based on how you would use your faith in this life. Each and every one of us has a report card in heaven with God, based on how we are living on this earth according to God's holy word. Now God will also identify your faith to the religion in which you believe and to the author of your religion. Now the Bible in the book of Galatians, the 2nd chapter and the 16th verse says this: knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. So what God is doing here, God himself is identifying your faith to the author of your religion. Those who believe in Christ, they have the faith of Christ. But those who do not believe in Christ, they have the faith of the author of their religion. If you believe in Jehovah's Witness religion, you have the faith of Charles Taze Russell. If you believe in the Seventh-day Adventists, you have the faith of Ellen G. White. If you believe in Mormonism, you have the faith of Joseph Smith. Because those are the authors of that religion, and God himself will identify your faith to the author of your religion. This is why it's so important to understand the spiritual laws of God. When God says something, it's for a reason. That God wants us to obey him. Number one, he can give us the Holy Spirit through our obedience. And the Holy Spirit can lead and guide us in this world in God's righteousness. Now the Bible in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 16th verse, speaks about the Holy Spirit that comes into the heart of a believer in Christ. Now the Bible said that God's Spirit would bear witness with our spirit that we're sons of God. And as being children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ our Lord. So when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart of a believer in Christ, that Holy Spirit will give your heart the witness, the inner witness, telling you that you are a child of God, telling you that you have passed from death unto life, that you're no longer under God's judgment. See, before you accept Christ, you walked around in guilt. Many times before I got saved, I was so guilty about a lot of things. And sometimes we come up with these lies to overshadow our guilt, to stay in sin. But when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So you don't. You no longer have to walk out in guilt. You'll walk out in joy, peace, and happiness. This is what God himself wanted to do when he made that covenant with Abraham. Because he wanted to save the creation of man from going to hell. And he saw something in Abraham that he loved, which was faith. And he used that to make a covenant, an agreement with. As long as Abraham believed in God, God himself worked with Abraham. Now, 12 tribes came out of that loin of Abraham. But God himself always referred back to Abraham when Israel disobeyed God. He always did things for Israel because of the covenant in which he made with Abraham. Now, the Bible speaks about an eternal covenant. Anything eternal means it's spiritual. It's not in a natural sense. In the book of 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Bible said, that which is seen is temporal, but that which is unseen is eternal. In the book of 1 Corinthians 14:45, the Bible said that the first man, Adam, was created from the dirt of the ground, but the last Adam was spiritually came from heaven. Spiritual Adam, which is Jesus Christ, which is called the last Adam. And God himself saw Jesus Christ in all of this when he made the covenant with Abraham. But God wants us to acknowledge that we too is held accountable for what we do with the Word of God in these last days. And the Bible said that those who put faith in Christ are the same as blessed Abraham. And the book of Galatians 3:29, the Bible said, if ye be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God promised to save those who put faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:21. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe in Christ. Now, there are many people today, they're trying to make Christ out to be what they want him to be. They want to make Christ go along with their lifestyle. They want to have a modern-day Christ that would accept any type of lifestyle that they want to live. But that's not the Christ of the Bible. That's another Christ, a Christ that's coming out of the mind of sinners who's not willing to submit to the authority of the Word of God to live according to God's righteousness. So we have to be careful about how we use the Word of God, because these same words Jesus said in the book of John 12:48, which we have rejected this day, would judge us on the last day. There's no getting around the Word of God. Sure, you can live in this life as if there's no God. But on the day of judgment, the same words that you have cursed out, the same words you have lied against, will be there to judge you by. Now, the Bible, which is God's holy word, tells us about what would happen to those who reject Christ. Now, Abraham, on the other hand, he did not know what type of life that he would live apart from his family. Do you know what type of life you're going to live apart from your friends if you obey Christ? So often people, they think if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they may have to go to Africa in some jungle. We have a jungle right here in New York City. People who don't even know Christ. Right in your own backyard. So don't think just because there are missionaries that do go in foreign countries for the Lord Jesus Christ that you have to be one of them. Don't let that be a hindrance for stopping you from accepting Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Because if you're willing to be obedient to God, he's willing to save your soul. See, Christ was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to take the shame of all our sins to that cross. He was willing to be abused and to be whipped for our sins, to be shamed before all mankind, to be hung between heaven and earth for our sins. He could have got out of it. He could have summoned a legion of angels to take him out of it. But he said, for this purpose I came, to do what? To give my life as a ransom for many. And God himself wants us to give our lives over to Christ to be a vessel that he can use to glorify his holy name. So Abraham was very comfortable in his life with his family. God called him out because he wanted the vessel to make a covenant with. And Abraham answered the call. In the book of Matthew, the 20th chapter and the 16th verse, the Bible said, many are called, but few are chosen. There's only a few people willing to answer the call of salvation. They love to use excuses. I have to get my life together first. I have to go to college and get my degree. And maybe later on in life, I give my life over to Christ. A young lady in the streets, we know her very well. I wouldn't call her name. But anyway, she said she had served God by the time she'd reached 80. So people, they always like to put the things of God off for the pledges of this world. But look at John Kennedy Jr., very young man. Nobody would expect he would get killed. You know, one minute he was alive and the next minute he was dead. So we know we have right here and right now. You can make a decision tonight to be like taking God at his word. The Bible in the book of Hebrews 6:18 said it's impossible for God to lie. Whatever God says in his word, he's going to perform in your life. In the book of 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Bible said all the promises of God in Jesus is yea and in Jesus is amen. So when God say believe in Christ and he would give you the Holy Spirit for your salvation, that's what God would do. When God told Abraham to leave his family and go out into a wilderness, I would make up my covenant with you, Abraham obeyed. He probably suffered for a while. You're always going to suffer if you're going to serve Christ. You notice you suffer when you don't serve Christ. There are many people today, they're suffering in their sins. The alcoholic, the drug addict, the prostitute, they're suffering. The homosexuals, because of diseases, they're suffering in their sins. So it's better to suffer for the righteousness of God than to suffer for the damnation of sin. You're going to lose something when you serve God. You're going to lose your friends. But you're going to gain sisters and brothers in Christ who love the Lord, who's willing to be obedient to the Word of God. So you're going to give up something to gain even more. You're going to give up the friends of this world to gain people who has dedicated to serve Christ. Abraham gave his family up. He gave his comfort of his home up. But he gained a covenant that we're being blessed with today. The blueprint of the salvation of Jesus Christ. God's plan to save the soul of man from its eternal judgment. In the book of Leviticus 17:11, the Bible said that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I, Jesus Christ, is speaking in the old covenant, have shed it on the altar as an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that make an atonement for your soul. And that word atonement means payment. A price had to be paid for man's soul. And that price was not based on money, silver, or gold. It was based on the blood of Jesus Christ. That was the covenant that God started with Abraham. And God told Abraham to sacrifice an animal, a lamb. The lamb had to be spotless, and that lamb was a type of Jesus Christ. This is why when you read in the book of John 1:29, when Jesus Christ was approaching John, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who came to take sin away from the world." So everything under the old covenant was a foreshadow of what Jesus Christ would do in the new covenant. The lamb was sacrificed. The lamb was spotless, flawless, with no sores or any type of disease on that lamb, representing purity, righteousness. When Jesus Christ came, there was no flaws on Jesus Christ. He was righteous, upright. He was the man God. Emmanuel, God with us, the Word of God that was made flesh. And God himself saw new life in the blood of Jesus Christ. So the animal sacrifice that God started with Abraham turned out to be the sacrifice which Jesus Christ did on the cross. The Bible said that the blood of animals could not take sin away from man. See, the law was only there for a purpose. It was only there to show man the need for salvation. So when you read the law, you can see that you are a sinner by nature. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. We have the nature of Adam before we come to Christ. And before you start the practice of sin, your nature is sinful from day one. In the book of Job, the 14th chapter, Job said, "Man that's born of a woman, a few days is in trouble." David in the book of Psalms 51:5 said, "I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So we all came the same way with the nature of Adam, the Adamic nature, the nature of sin. Abraham had the same nature, the nature of sin. But Abraham responded to the call of God. When Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, went out getting disciples, he told Simon Peter, "Come." Simon Peter was a fisherman. He dropped his net and followed Christ. He answered the call. Matthew was a tax collector. He also answered the call. Saul, who became the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, he was a persecutor. He was out killing the Christians. But one day Saul was struck down, and Saul answered the call of salvation. He was willing to change. He was willing to do that which is righteous in the eyes of God. Abraham was the same. He was willing to do that which is righteous in the eyes of God, to be obedient to his calling, to have a covenant that God would use to bring in salvation. Now, the Bible in the book of 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the Bible speaks about us as being peculiar people. We are peculiar people because we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because God himself wants us to be light that's shining in a dark, dark world. In the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In the book of 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, we start reading at verse 9. But the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past was not a people, but now the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peculiar people. That's the covenant he made with Abraham. He said, kings will come out of you. You see, when you come to Christ and be you, he will make you great. Who knew David before David was obedient? He was just a little shepherd boy. But David believed in God. And when David went up against Goliath by faith and slew Goliath, God himself elevated David to become king. And everybody knew about David. See, when God uses you, God himself will make you great. You may not be known by the world's standard or system, but you'll be great with God because God can see that you are a person that will glorify his name in this life in righteousness. And that's what he wants. He made man for that purpose, to be glorified through. This is why he has given us a soul. In our soul, we can have fellowship with God spiritually. But if your soul is in sin, you cannot fellowship with God. This is why you have to come to Christ. And when you come to Christ, God himself will give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the avenue in which you can use to fellowship with God spiritually. And God wants us. In the book of Isaiah 43:7, God said, I created man for my glory. Obedience to God's word glorifies God. And this is why you're here, not to practice sin, but to glorify God in obedience to God's word, to turn your lives over and come under the authority of Jesus Christ, under the dominion of Jesus Christ, that he will rule over you and protect you in this evil and wicked world in which we live in. In the book of 1 Peter 2:25, the Bible said Jesus Christ is the shepherd and bishop of our soul. He would watch over your soul, protect your soul from the devil. If your soul is not protected by the devil, it's like a car that nobody claims. Vandals will come and rip it off. If your soul is not protected by the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan will destroy it. And God does not want that to happen. So this is why he wants each and every one of us to use our faith to believe in what he says to save your soul. You're more than flesh. So often the devil wants you to just look at the outer man. But the outer man is perishing, but the inner man, God wants to save. He can only do it if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 78:41, how Israel limited God because of their unbelief. So you can limit God in your life by not believing and taking him at his word. Because God will not save you apart from your faith in Christ. This is how God has established it, and he would go through based on his holy word. There are people that want to find another way to get to God because they're not willing to give up the pledges of this world. Jesus Christ said in the book of John around 12:25 that if you love your life in this world, you're going to lose it. But if you hate your life in this world, you're going to have it to eternity. There are many people, because of their lifestyle, they begin to hate living on this earth. If you really hate it, turn your life over to Christ. Let Jesus Christ clean it up. Now you tried your way, so now why not try God's way? Works every time. I know when I was a cigarette smoker, I tried many times to stop. I went out and I bought all kind of this gum. They had the cigarettes and all this stuff, but it never worked. Because sin is within the nature of the person. In order for you to stop sin, you have to change your nature, and you can't do it. You can change your name because of your religion. You can change your garments because of your religion, but you can't change your nature. But God needs an avenue to work with to do that. And that avenue is faith in Christ. You put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit will change you. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 17th verse. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things has become new. God would do that through the power of the Holy Spirit when you put your faith in Christ. So this is what he wants out of us. He wants each and every one of us to be controlled by that Spirit. Be baptized in that Spirit. be in one accord like the disciples in the book of Acts, the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost. They was in one accord. There was nobody arguing about different religions or different denominations. They was lifting up the salvation of Jesus Christ. See, we have in our society many different denominations. And because of that, people have different viewpoints about the Bible. Another trick of the devil to divide the body of Christ, to keep people away from really serving God on one accord. Because you see, if you fuss among yourself, you can't come together to fight against the wicked one, Satan. And a lot of denomination philosophy will do that. We'll have you arguing over things that's really not that important. The important thing is to keep Jesus Christ in your heart and be a doer of God's word. Like Abraham. Abraham left his home. Abraham responded to the call. Are you willing to respond to that call? The call of salvation? To leave your lifestyle, which puts you under the judgment of God? To leave the cigarette smoking? To follow Christ? To accept Christ into your heart? To leave alcohol? To leave fornication? You got to give up something to receive Christ. And God wants you to give up sin to serve Christ in his righteousness. So be like Abraham. Abraham believed in God, and because of Abraham's faith in God, it was given unto him for his righteousness. God placed that on his account. We all have an account in heaven. We can also have that on our account when you put your faith in Christ. So why not make that altar call? There are some here tonight who's probably backslid, went back to the old lifestyle, and you know you're not happy. You know that you need help. Don't be shy. Don't let other people stop you from making a call to get your life right with God. There are some who never accept Christ. They think Christ is just another religion, just another belief, but he's more than that. So you have to always keep Christ separated from the world system that would always water down truth. So often we tell people about Christ and they say, well, I don't want your religion. I keep telling them, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Christ is a relationship, not a religion. Satan gives you religion, a belief, and a theology, a belief, and some type of doctrine. But Christ came with a relationship to change the way you think, to change the way you live by his Spirit. There are many people who have good testimonies about Jesus Christ, who was once an alcoholic, or drug addict, or homosexual, that got delivered when they gave their life over to Christ. You could also have a good testimony tonight. You can make an altar call. You can come up here and say that prayer and really believe it in your heart. And God himself will transform you according to the book of Colossians 1:12 down to verse 14. The Bible said, giving thanks unto the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin through his blood. That can happen tonight if you're willing to get up and answer the call of salvation. God is calling you. He wants to save your soul. And as you can see, just by looking at all the activities that's going on, the end is very near. You got teenagers killing teenagers. You have young ladies, young girls that are flushing their babies down the toilet stool. We're living in the last days. Evil time. The Bible in the book of Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because these days are evil in which we're living in. So the Bible tells us about how man will be acting in the last days, and we can read about it in the newspapers, proving that the Bible is true. So you have a soul. Do you want your soul in heaven or in hell? Most people want to go to hell or heaven, but they're not willing to sacrifice their lifestyle to get there. Abraham was willing to sacrifice the comfort of his home to obey God. Are you willing to do that? The altar is open, and those who's willing to come up and make a confession of faith to receive Christ into their hearts as the Lord and Savior, God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit that would work in your heart to lead you and guide you according to his righteousness. Tonight we'll be singing from hymn number 223. When we walk with the Lord. Is there any more? 223. When we walk with the Lord. That's one. Is there more to come up to receive Christ? Everyone stand, please.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our joy he does richly repay. Not a grief for our loss, not a frown or a cross, but his blessing we trust in.
I'd just like to read one more verse from Matthew, the 19th chapter. Then Peter answered Peter and said unto him, Jesus, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Amen. What a nice switch. If you leave the darkness of sin and come to Jesus, God's marvelous light, he will give you peace, joy, he will give you forgiveness of sin, and best of all, everlasting life in heaven. Amen. But you must be willing to give up the darkness of sin. Are you willing? As we sing this last verse, we thank God for the two souls who've come up. But don't you realize, staying in the world, staying in the darkness of sin, will only bring misery, diseases, death, and hell. But Jesus has something far, far better. And as we sing this last verse, come up to the altar. It's not coming to us, but it's coming to Jesus. And let Jesus transform you. Let him change you. Amen. You give him your old dirty garments, and he will give you a robe of pure white. Isn't God wonderful? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this last hymn. And you know who you are. Come up to the altar and make the switch. Then in fellowship. fellowship sweet. We will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Praise the Lord. We just pray, my Heavenly Father, that those who made the altar call, Lord God, to be serious about their commitment to Christ. And we also pray for those who did not make the altar call, if they are not saved, Lord God, we pray that you would protect them and that you would convict their hearts, Lord God, and reveal to them the need for salvation, Lord. Because this is not the only life you're going to live. You're going to leave this earth one day and you will enter into eternity. That eternity can be spent in heaven or hell. And we just pray, Lord God, that they would make the right decision and receive Jesus Christ before time run out. Go in grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.